Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com.
Show.
Did you know that Eric wears dentures that have been in his family for generations?
It's true. They're discolored and disgusting.
But they have deep personal meaning for Eric, so we ask that you respect that.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Hey there, folks. Welcome to, what is today, Monday?
Monday.
It's, we are in the middle of something unprecedented in this nation. But there's a reason I'm smiling. I'm smiling because I believe that we're actually in a good place. Now you say, why would that be, Eric? I'm going to have to tell you. Before I tell you, let me warn you that Kevin McCullough votes Stradamus, or maybe we'll take that title from him, depending on how this breaks down. Votes Stradamus will be with us to talk about things. And then Jenna Ellis will be with us to talk about what's going on with the lawsuits. She's obviously one of the lawyers for the president. In hour two today, we have our dear, dear friend, Danielle D'Souza, who is, I'm sorry, her name is Danielle D'Souza Gill, because of course she was married a couple of years ago because I performed the wedding, no joke. So she's talking about a new book she has called The Choice. It's about the abortion issue in America. But I want to say, first of all, before Kevin and Jenna come on, that I am hopeful. Why am I hopeful? Because I've looked at enough evidence and read enough to be convinced that there was voter fraud. Now, if you want a bloodless, logical dissection of that issue from somebody who is not a Jesus freak like yours truly, go and look at what I posted all over my social media. Scott Adams, we've had him on this program twice. He's the creator of Dilbert, right? You've heard of Dilbert. He created Dilbert, but the dude is just a genius. He's written all these books. And he breaks down with absolute brilliant logic. It's the logic that I find so amazingly compelling. But he explains what the irregularities are, why there's a motive, why it makes perfect sense that people who are used to using these fraudulent ways of proceeding in an election, which is to say a lot of these Democratic strongholds in the big cities, they've done this for years. We have evidence of that. I mean, everybody knows JFK stole the election with the Chicago mob in Chicago. That's what he needed. That's what he got. Nixon didn't dispute it. Okay. LBJ was a filthy politician, would do anything to win. There are people like that. And I think particularly in Democratic cities, Democratic-led cities, this has gone on forever. So there's enough anecdotal evidence that I would say certainly there's smoke, so there's probably fire. But it goes way past that. We heard about these Dominion voting machines, okay? Dominion voting machines are used in 30 states. They're the ones that had the glitch that flipped 6,000 votes from President Trump to Biden in one instance, I believe in Michigan. They were used in 30 states. The people behind that company are people affiliated with Hillary Clinton, people affiliated with George Soros. Now, if this sounds like a conspiracy theory, why don't you go check it out? But what I find dispositive, to use a legal term, everyone knows I'm not a lawyer, but I play one on this program. What I notice is that when people say, hey, shut up, it's over, that's when I know it's not over, and they're very afraid of people continuing the line of questioning. We saw this happen effectively with Roe v. Wade, tremendous controversy in this country in 1973 and before, and the Supreme Court shut it down. and said, this is a constitutional, this is something we found in the Constitution, done. And of course, we've had 47 years of unrest as a result of that, because they didn't let the people speak. They didn't let the people work it out. And it was kind of government by fiat. We saw the same thing with same-sex marriage. Before we had had a real cultural conversation on the pros and cons, the religious liberty issue, people said, shut up, bigot. You're a homophobe. Shut up. It's over. You better be on the right side of history. These are bullying tactics. These are threatening tactics. These are not the way we're supposed to do things in a free nation, in a democracy where we believe in truth and facts. So that was shoved down people's throats. When people are afraid of the facts, their argument is shut up, bigot. So what we've seen, and if we hadn't seen this, I honestly could not be nearly as forceful as I am in thinking what I'm thinking or saying what I'm saying. But the idea that CNN and then Fox News and then others declared that Biden had won, I thought to myself, excuse me, you can't do this yet. First of all, it's too controversial. Under normal circumstances, you could do this. But not when it's this controversial, not when there are this many irregularities, this many questions. You really ought not to do that. You ought to do what we did when there was the Gore-Bush fiasco back in 2000. That would be the right thing to do, to kind of hang tight and to see. And a couple of people jumped the gun, but most people were willing to say, we don't know yet. So they didn't say President-elect Gore or President-elect Bush, because they said the people haven't decided. Well, when you see that kind of thing happening, you know something is wrong. I really knew something was wrong when Biden and Harris had that huge celebration. I thought to myself, this was planned. This is their way of telling everybody the party's over, we're moving on. Or the party's over, the election's over, we're moving on. We're having this party to show you that it's over, that we're celebrating, we're weeping and dancing, because we want it to be so culturally powerful that it will cost you to buck this trend. Now, the good news is that we have a president that I think is more of a fighter than anyone we've had. So I think anyone else would have rolled over and would have simply said, you know, I guess we lost and we'll come back to fight another day. This president, I think, is offended that the people that have been foisting rank nonsense on the American people through the news media for 4 years, things like a Russia collusion hoax. I mean, I don't know if some people really believe that or if they simply don't care. They hate the president so much they don't care. The impeachment silliness. The fact of the matter is, this is not the kind of a president who's going to back down. And I'm telling you, folks, when people are pushing this hard to say, shut up, bigot, that's when you know they are scared. And I'm telling you, there are going to be investigations. We need to fast and pray. We had an amazing prayer time last night. I don't know if any of you were able to join us, but we're going to have more of them. There's another one tomorrow night, Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Central. We'll send out the link. Suzanne and I are fasting and praying. We're going to be praying again tonight. Strengthenthenation.com is a good website to check out as a resource for fasting and for some of the stuff I've talked about. Strengthenthenation.org. Michelle Bachman will be on this program later this week. She prayed last night and she prayed in the previous two prayer meetings. She is a prayer warrior, in case you want to know whether she is or isn't. But the Scott Adams thing, I put so many things on Twitter and on Facebook and on Parler and on Gab, because I want you to see what I've been looking at. The evidence, to my mind, suggests strongly that this is not over, and that we have every reason to hope and even believe that Trump will be reelected. But you understand that the Dems are pushing so hard that if it does turn in the president's favor, which I'm sure that it will at some point, this is not just, it's not just going to go away. Whether it ultimately goes in his favor or not is still a question, but I think it will. But at some point, it's going to get fuzzy, and probably Antifa and BLM will go out and riot to add to the confusion further, to intimidate people. That's not the American way. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to continue to look at the truth, because we only want what's fair. Whoever won fairly That's our president. But until we know that, there's no president elect. The prayer meeting, again, we'll put the information out tomorrow. When we come back, we're going to be talking to our buddy, Kevin McCullough. Don't go away. Folks, welcome back to the Eric Metaxas Show. In a couple of seconds, we're going to go to Jenna Ellis, Kevin Votstradamus McCullough. You know, we made him into the star, into the monster that he is. And so who knows where he is right now? He's in a bar someplace talking to Henry Kissinger. He doesn't know we exist. You know, we're the people he stepped on his way to the top. So we're going to go to Jenna Ellis, and I assume he'll be here in a couple of minutes. I want to remind you, please go to MyPillow, support our friend, Mike Lindell. If you go to mypillow.com, everything there is radically discounted when you use the code Eric. Please use the code Eric. And don't forget, when you go to mystore.com, which is linked, you can get copies of my Donald the Caveman book, Donald the Caveman. Ridiculous prices, folks. They are prophetic works of children's literature, okay? But if you want them, go there because the prices are truly insane. You could check around and they have them in stock, unlike Amazon. Also, don't forget that if you want to get any of my books, probably SocratesInTheCity.com is the place to get them cheapest, and their autographed copy, SocratesInTheCity.com. Jenna Ellis is with the Trump campaign, and we are thrilled to have her. Jenna, welcome.
Great to see you, Eric.
Okay, now listen, I was part of this huge prayer call last night. Somebody blew a red, white, and blue shofar. It was like that kind of a prayer meeting. It was unbelievable. And I have a lot of hope that there are enough irregularities that the American people will not stand for an election that they don't know was fair. And so it seems to me that that's where we are right now. What is your sense of where the Trump campaign is?
Yeah, and nor should the American people stand for an election that has so much irregularity across so many states. Right now, we will have litigation and recounts in six states, Nevada, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. So, I mean, all of these states put together, that's a lot of electoral votes. And so even just Pennsylvania, if you look at that, if you look at all of the multivariable legal problems that are going on, just that one state, if that goes to Trump, will put Joe Biden down to right at the 270 mark. So for all of these media networks that are calling this election saying, nothing to see here, move on, trust, don't verify, this is not over yet. We have to remember that in 2000, with one state, one issue, just a couple of counties, it took 36 days from November 7th of the election to the Supreme Court's decision December 12th, and to make sure that the legal issues were fairly and properly adjudicated. So the biggest question that I get, Eric, is, well, the Supreme Court shouldn't substitute its judgment for the will of the American people. That's not what happens. The Supreme Court has to look at the allegations of irregularities, of fraud, of not following the legal process, not following the constitutional process, and make sure to hold these states accountable to the law. And then when we count and tally every legal ballot, then at the end of the day, we see who's president.
Okay, so the question for most of us have no clue how the process works. These things, I assume, don't go straight to the Supreme Court, but kind of make their way up, or how does that work?
Yeah. So when we have a multi-state situation, it can become a little complicated. But right now, no state has actually certified their results. That's why you have recounts that are happening in Wisconsin and Georgia and Pennsylvania. Probably will happen in Michigan. My friend Dan Bongino just reported that the FBI has now opened investigations, three investigations into fraud. And also the Michigan state legislature has opened an investigation into fraud in that state.
Okay, so, now that, excuse me, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. To open an investigation into fraud means they believe they have a case, that there's something going on. That's not being reported very much in the news media. I mean, I have to hear it from Dan Bongino on Twitter or from you on this program.
Fox News, for example, has adopted the narrative, which I have to say, this is stunning news. They've adopted the narrative that Biden is the president elect, and they're kind of dealing with that. And they're talking about, well, here's what's going on in the Senate. Here's what's going on in the House. And I thought to myself, what am I missing? I mean, I'm not a dumb guy, but I'm not an expert. I'm looking at all of these different scenarios in all these different states. How can you possibly make a call when you haven't settled these things? And you've just listed a whole bunch that I was not even aware of.
Yeah, and it's really irresponsible for the mainstream media to just bypass this, to not even report it, and to have this narrative out there that they want the American people to adjudicate the election in the court of public opinion. That's not where this happens. That's the campaign. When we campaigned for the last, 4 years for President Trump for a second term, that is in the court of public opinion because the voters get to decide. Well, now the ballots have been cast, and we have to make sure now that the legal process is followed. And so this isn't a matter of the court of public opinion anymore. It's not what a pundit on TV wants to say. It's not what I think. I mean, of course, I want Donald Trump to be reelected. I work for him and I work for his campaign. But what I want even more is to make sure that our system, our U.S. constitutional process, our rule of law is followed, and we as the American people can have confidence in the legitimacy and the accuracy of the results. And there's always a loser. There's always a winner to every campaign, every race, every contest. But you have to be a legitimate and genuine winner. When there's cheating and fraud that goes on, that's not a legitimate win. So we have to hold the system accountable.
Well, and of course, the people on the Biden side are simply claiming that we don't like the results, so we are shouting fraud. But I don't see that. In other words, I'm one of these people that I would be upset if Biden had won fairly, but I would accept it, which is not what the left did when Trump won fairly. They did not accept it. But I feel a compulsion to accept the results and to fight fairly. And their rush to judgment, the absurd party that Biden and Kamala Harris and others had the other night, I thought to myself, if ever you needed proof that they're desperate to shut this down, to say, it's over, we've celebrated, let's move on, because they are scared to death of where this is going to go. I heard Scott Adams brilliantly lay out the facts of how he sees it. And a few others have done that. Sidney Powell has been talking. There's questions about these Dominion voting machines. Is there anything you can say about that?
Yeah. So Sidney Powell was on Sunday Morning Futures yesterday with Maria Bartiromo. And if people haven't watched that clip, definitely go back. It's on the Conservative Treehouse, which is a great resource. But you can just Google that, watch that clip. And, she was actually telling me, we had brunch on my birthday, by the way, which was the Sunday before election. I love Sidney. She's a dear friend. And even then, she was saying that there were allegations of potential issues with some of these election machines that are not the paper ballots that have been mailed out, but the electronic ones. And we're actually seeing that that has happened. And what we know of and what she's been talking about is that across all of the counties, all of the precincts and districts that that this has occurred in that we know of can have a total of possibly up to 500,000 or more ballots. So this isn't just, there's fraud in every election in terms of, people who fill out ballots for a family member, for a dead relative, people who are non-residents and vote. And some of these are accidental good faith mistakes that they just didn't know. Some of these, there's always prosecutions for fraud. We've seen that. We're not talking about incidental and nominal fraud here. We are talking about a widespread systematic fraud between the mail-in ballots and also the electronic system and also the process of how Team Trump has not been able to observe the ballot counting. So when we look at that across the board, this is not just something that is just slight or, hey, you're sore losers. This is something that we have to get to the bottom of to make sure is fairly adjudicated in the court to protect election integrity, not just for this election, but to make sure for future elections, everyone knows that we can have confidence that our elections in America are not determined by a party or by a player or by a bad actor, but by we the people and our American system.
How do you see this playing itself out? In other words, today, I assume the president's team is filing lawsuits? Where, in what kind of courts do they file these lawsuits?
So initially, we go, of course, to the state level. But then as this is expedited, I anticipate, I don't know this for sure, but I anticipate that because there are so many of the similar constitutional issues, that they could be aggregated into one lawsuit that goes in front of the Supreme Court. We see that even on other types of civil litigation, like, for example, religious liberty cases that all have the same or similar constitutional question, three cases could be aggregated into one that then goes up in front of the Supreme Court that they determine those constitutional questions. So here, when we're dealing with election integrity issues, it's very likely that as these cases make their way through expeditiously, because we need an outcome sooner rather than later, that this will get to the Supreme Court, and it may be that they're merged into one election integrity case.
Well, that is so interesting, and I just find it fascinating that we had Amy Coney Barrett get in just under the wire. This is so extraordinary what's going on. Folks, let me remind you, if you go to mypillow.com, use the code Eric. If you go to mystore.com, you can get the Caveman books very, very inexpensively. And let me also remind you, the show has only begun. Don't go away. We'll be back with Jenna Ellis. Walk with me. Come on, walk one more mile. Investors seeking steady cash flow, ready to diversify? NRIA has grown to be one of the nation's leading specialists and offers 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses targeted at 18 to 21%. That's right. You could receive steady 10% return monthly payments with bonuses. As their slogan says, they specialize in realty investing done right. You can even use your 401k or IRA to invest. NRIA's 15-year track record and $1.2 billion in new construction development backs you. Learn how you can invest in this hard asset real estate cash flow fund today and receive 10% annualized monthly payouts with bonuses. This is something savvy investors should research and consider. Call now 800-700-5483. That's 800-700-5483 or visit NRIA.net. Folks, I got some embarrassing news to share with you, but you know what? This is just the kind of a show where I don't care. I'm willing to lay my heart, you know, on the line. Here's the issue. Mike Lindell with MyPillow, you may notice that I have a bobblehead of him near me. He's here to remind all of us that when you go to MyPillow.com, you get whopping discounts if you use the code Eric, okay? Now, there are a lot of people who haven't done that, and we have your names here. And Chris Himes and Albin pointed out to me that there's like three pages of you whose first name is Eric. You yourself, I mean, that's humiliating for me that even though your name is Eric, you're still not willing to use the code Eric. I mean, if you don't want to use it because it's my name, use it because it's your name. But the point is that I see who you are. And I just feel humiliated by this. Please go to mypillow.com. It's okay, Mike. It's going to be okay. Go to mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. You're going to get whopping savings and really high quality products. Did I mention that? Thank you. Hey, folks, it's Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Jenna Ellis. She's with the Falkirk Center at Liberty University. She is with the Trump campaign. Jenna, you and I, we claim to be Christians, right? Now, the thing is that we're worried what God thinks, right? We're not worried about winning. We don't want to win by stealing because we believe God will judge us for that, okay? So I think you're on the record and I'm on the record as saying that if Trump did not get as many legal votes in the right states as Biden, I'd be upset, but I would accept those results. But it sure seems to me, based on many things, it's not just one thing, that that's not the case. Therefore, we have an obligation to the nation to try to get to the bottom of it. And if we get to the bottom of it, and it really does look like Biden won, well, then at least we can accept it in a different way. We can accept it as though, well, okay, this was God's will, or this was the will of the American people. But we're so far from that I'm most fascinated by the rush to judgment in the media and by lots of people like Jeb Bush and others who congratulated Joe Biden. George W. Bush congratulated Joe Biden. I thought, don't they know how this works? George Bush doesn't know how this works after what he went through in 2000. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, and that's a really great point, Eric. I mean, I didn't vote for Barack Obama in either of his two terms, but I accepted him as my president because I'm an American and I live in this country. And so, so that's something where we have to understand that's the process of our elections but they have to be done freely and fairly, and every legal vote counts. And then at the end of that tally, we see who is the next president. Now, I have advocated on behalf of the campaign really hard to make those arguments to other Christians, to other conservatives, to every American, why they should have voted for Donald Trump. And at the end of the day, this now in this post-election litigation, this is no longer about campaigning for a specific candidate. This is about preserving our American system and free and fair elections. And it is fascinating and also disgusting and despicable to me that Joe Biden and the Democrats and the mainstream media that are all coordinated on this are not willing to come out and acknowledge the truth of the matter is that every legal vote counts. Illegal votes do not count in this country. And they won't say that because they know that if there isn't fraud, then it is very likely that Joe Biden will not be the next president. So they are still focused on the outcome, and they are willing to lie, cheat, and steal, manipulate the rules however they have to. And we've seen that over the last 4 years. When you talk about peaceful transition of power, and I've seen that on the networks lately where they're saying, why won't Donald Trump just concede? Well, look at what happened now we know with Obamagate and everything that happened to undermine the Trump administration coming in. You want to talk about peaceful transition of power? You want to talk about the truth of the matter? Look at Russia collusion. Look at the impeachment hoax. Look at how the mainstream media has treated Donald Trump. And now at the end in this election, they won't go for fairness and accuracy because that might disadvantage their candidate. That is un-American. That should not stand. And that is why we are litigating. We are on the side of truth and fact. And wherever that truth and fact yields, we follow the facts, we follow the truth, we follow the process. That's the American constitutional way.
Isn't it fascinating and a little bit ironic that the people on the left seem to be led by emotion? That there was a time really when I think that everyone in America understood that there's a right way to do things and a wrong way to do things. But I think the level of hatred of this president for whatever reason has risen to such a fever pitch that they really do want to win by any means necessary. That's what makes me so suspicious, is the way they have behaved, the way they have shut down legitimate questions. That's what worries me about the Republic more than anything. What is your sense of how this is going to go? Are you willing to say what you think is going to happen or what things might happen?
Well, I think that the judicial branch is going to step in, and I think that judges understand that this is so critical to precedent. It's not just about the outcome of this election. It's making sure that our procedure and our process matters. The law always matters. That's why we have an independent judiciary. And so I'm confident and in our process, in our separation of powers, that the political branches won't control. And I really hope that the Supreme Court will get to a determination of fairness. And I'm grateful that Amy Barrett is on the Supreme Court so that we have a full court to determine this. And this isn't about one perspective over another. I would hope that you have a 9-0 opinion that will faithfully apply the law and the Constitution so that then we can count every legal vote and end up at a correct tally regardless of who wins. That's what the judicial branch should do.
Okay, what about the executive branch? What about the Department of Justice, which is under the executive branch? Do you see them having a role in this? Do you see AG Barr having a role here?
Possibly. And I think that that the Department of Justice should, when they have a whole division for safety and security of voter integrity, and they have, you know, some other things when they're looking at fraud, all of those kinds of things, when it deals with these federal questions, especially things that are conspiracy that cross state lines. I mean, all of these things are very, very serious allegations that, you know, this isn't about the Department of Justice being Trump's Department of Justice. This is about the government working as an agency to uncover the truth and the fact. And that's what a prosecutor's role is under the law, is to have a higher obligation to follow fact and truth and get to meaningful justice, not just an outcome that they prefer. So I hope the DOJ will step in, the FBI has, and of course, Team Trump, the RNC, some of these other law firms that are now getting involved, some of these other lawyers in our Lawyers for Trump coalition that are donating their time. This is really important to all Americans.
Okay, we are out of time. Jenna Ellis, we love you. Thanks for coming on this program. And we'll be back with Kevin Votstradamus McCullough.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow and bye tomorrow.
Folks, as promised on this program, we get you the best of the best. Kevin McCullough, a.k.a. Votstradamus. That, of course, just like who is president, we have to put that aside for a season until we can determine who is Votstradamus. Kevin, seriously, what do you think is happening right now in this country? What's your sense?
Well, you know, I think like a lot of our listeners, Eric, my emotions go up and go down and kind of flutter in between most of the days since last Tuesday. There are days when I feel like there's a lot of progress and we're making some good moves. And then there's times when I feel like we're losing the country forever. And I kind of vacillate between those two.
You're speaking for everybody. I'm not kidding, yeah. Because that's the way it is.
But yeah. Let me say that as of this morning, I'm very encouraged that the legal processes are being followed, that the challenges are going to court, and that it appears that there's a lot of stuff that needs to be looked at and hopefully will be. Look, Eric, at the end of the day, if you go through all of the challenge recourses and you give you have the chance to present and establish evidence, and Joe Biden lawfully won the election, I think it would be proper for the president and the administration to say, okay, fair and square, you did it. We're not anywhere near having that kind of transparency and confidence. And I think that as long as Joe Biden perpetuates this president-elect phony persona that he's got, I think at the end of the day, you're just undermining your own future if you do end up becoming president, because if you do not have transparency and clarity at this stage, at least 71 million Americans are going to say this election's been stolen from us. And we don't want that. We don't want that for either side.
But don't you find it funny that the last election, that nobody thought that it was stolen. And yet the people who didn't vote for Trump resisted, said, he's not my president. We hate him. He's illegitimate. Now imagine how the 71 million who did vote for Trump are going to feel if they really do believe it wasn't just not their guy who was in the White House, but it was actually somebody who was not elected, who was put in there fraudulently. I mean, that's a whole different level. I think the Democrats, it's not just Biden's future. Biden has no future, to be blunt about it.
Right.
The future of the Democratic Party, they are undermining themselves, making themselves look really, really foolish, because when things turn, and things are going to turn, even if they don't ultimately turn to the election of the president, I believe they will. But even if they don't, when evidence comes out, it's going to be very hard for the people that have been celebrating in the streets to take it in. What do you mean? We were told that it was over.
Right. And that's why what the media has done here is the equivalent of malpractice.
Correct.
You're the truth-telling industry.
Correct.
You have perpetrated as much of a fraud as any election fraud that can be had, because this man is not our president-elect. The president-elect is the person whose election will be certified on the days of the certification. Zero states have certified the votes. The president-elect becomes the president when the College of Electors meets and takes the vote. Until then, he's not president. Before that, he's not president-elect. Right now, we're just at the official ending of the unofficial tallies. These aren't even certified counts that we have. And aside from that, all six swing states are now in flux. You have recounts going on in Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. You'll have a recount in Georgia. You haven't stopped counting the vote yet in Arizona. And Nevada has so much baggage already attached to it that they've already uncovered 3,500 non-residents voting there that are affidated and documented.
Now, whoa. This is why we
ways to go.
Excuse me. This is why we have you on the program. That I have not heard. 35 people voted in Nevada who are
3,500 people.
I'm sorry. 3,500 people have voted in Nevada who are not official Nevada residents. And you're saying that that's documented, that that's a fact?
That they've already, yes, they've already documented and I believe affidated those 3,500 voters. The real killer here, Eric, is that it's likely to be three or four times that amount because there's this thing that happens in Nevada. Californians buy places in Vegas to do the 51% residency thing and they try to cheat the laws of both states to pay the lowest taxes possible. If you're not a full-time Nevada resident, you're not allowed to vote in Nevada. They've got 3,500 people that they've already discovered did. There's probably going to be two to three, maybe four times that many at the end of the day. Nevada and Wisconsin and Michigan all have dead people voting. In fact, Michigan had people, dead people voting that evidently fought in the Civil War and the War of 1812.
That is impressive that they
are saying
it's that they're still willing to crawl not just out of the grave, but all the way to a polling place to wait in line as a corpse. That is an extraordinary level of commitment to one's country.
Well, indeed. See,
the thing is, this stuff, as you know and I know, it's going to get out because we have a president that's not going to let this happen. Even if he ends up losing, which I don't believe he will, but the point is that he's going to fight
right
to the end.
And to the people listening and watching right now, this is why Eric Metaxas is on the air. This is why Kevin McCullough is on the air. This is why you need to seek out reliable sources of information for what you're consuming each day, because it was made pretty clear that the mainstream television networks, and sadly, I've got to now lump Fox News into that, played a game that was not honest. They have continued to play this game that is not honest, calling someone the president-elect who is not the president-elect. And they're trying to push a narrative that is going to cause, they wanted it to cause social upheaval so that everybody just says, okay, fine, let him be president. That's not going to happen.
Exactly right. And I got to say, it's despicable. And I know I've got to have a ton of Democrat friends who think it's despicable. Now, this has nothing to do with who you voted for. It has everything to do with right and wrong. And when somebody tries to steal an election, that's despicable. We don't do that in America.
If we don't clean this up, there will never be another clean election in America. And we can't let that happen.
Well, see, I see it as God's mercy that this has happened. If Trump had just won on election night, we wouldn't be here. And I actually think that God has allowed this so that we can dig down and find out what has been happening for decades in some of these cities and some of these places. This is not the American way. Folks, if you don't believe in the American way, in justice, in doing things fairly, in every vote counting, then you're part of what is despicable.
Can I give you some breaking news on these fronts?
Please.
We've already had one arrest as it pertains to voter fraud. There's been an arrest in the state of Texas, one person, 134 counts of voter fraud. And the FBI announced very quietly over the weekend, but I heard from John Solomon of justthenews.com.
Yes.
They have opened up three FBI investigations, two in Michigan, one in Pennsylvania. That means the feds believe this is a serious issue, just a civil rights issue.
All right, folks. I hope you're for what is right. I hope you believe in truth and honesty. We'll be right back.
Well, here I am, Lord, knocking at your back door.
Hey there, folks. We're talking to Kevin McCullough. By the way, if you want to follow him on Twitter, KMC Radio is the handle. You know, I'm there at Eric Metaxas, and I retweet tons of Kevin's stuff. Kevin, you're right in this, in the weeds on it. It's wonderful to know you're out there. By the way, we had to call an audible in hour two today. We have Bill Johnson. He's the head pastor at Bethel Church. He has a devotional out. Wonderful
wonderful preacher and incredible profundity. I've heard him preach a few times. What profundity, very rare. But we've got him in hour two, and we'll keep you on. Tomorrow, we've got Michelle Bachman and Dick Morris. Very excited about that. So, Kevin, to end this hour, what do you think happens this week? Do you think that I guess we're going to see more gaslighting from the mainstream media and the Democrats until suddenly there's some discovery, as they put it.
Well, I think that one thing that has to happen is that as these legal actions go forward, there has to be some news come out of there. Now, later today on my own broadcast, I'll be speaking with Mayor Giuliani, who is heading up the investigative efforts for the Trump team. I'm sure that there will be a report for us. I think Pennsylvania is the main target, because if you take Pennsylvania out of Biden's column, that's 20 electoral points. And if anything else comes off, Nevada, Arizona, anything, then Biden has not won the election. And Pennsylvania and Michigan are probably the two most fraught with fraud states out there. Georgia, a close third. But you've got a lot of questions surrounding these three states.
If people want to find you online or listen to your radio program, what's the best way for them to do that?
Certainly. All of my podcasts are at soundcloud.com under KMC Radio. But if you follow my Twitter handle, there'll be live links when we're live and then the podcast when they're posted. So it's just follow me on Twitter and you'll get access to everything.
I'm excited to see what Giuliani's going to say. I know you'll tweet about it.
But your question was, what are we going to see? I hope we don't see more of what we saw from Michelle Obama today, who said, let's remember that tens of millions of people voted for the status quo, even when it meant supporting lies, hate, chaos, and division. We've got a lot of work to do to reach out to these folks. I hope that that's not what we see. I hope that for all of when they go low, we go high rhetoric that Michelle Obama has stated in the past and how she's finally proud of her country and all the rest of it, half of which I'm not sure if she means. But if we could in some way refrain from that, I think that might actually help the unity and healing factor. It's interesting, Eric. Everybody in the media and on the left is saying it's time to unify and it's time to heal. Well, we can't know what we're healing from if we don't know what happened. So until we even know if we're sick or dead, we need to know those things first before you can begin to heal. So let's not get the horse in front of the carriage. Let's find out the facts, take the appropriate action, and then talk about coming back together.
And look, I hate to say it, but the unity talk is pure baloney, ladies and gentlemen. When they say unify, what are they really saying? They are saying anybody who voted for Trump voted for a divider, a divisive monster. And unity means pushing away from anything he pushed forward and joining us, because we are the party of peace and unity. It's a lie. It's actually a despicable lie. Michelle Obama and others, when they say things like that, I don't know that anybody takes them seriously. We're going to end hour one right now. When we come back, we've got more with Kevin McCullough, a lot more to talk about. I want to talk about the media's role in giving us the illusion that we're a divided country. I don't think we're nearly as divided as they wish we were. I think more people believe in truth, but they're just not getting access to it. We're going to be back with Kevin McCullough. And after that, wow, we have Bill Johnson from Redding, California, Bethel Church. I love that man. Wonderful. Stick around.